Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
And away we go, welcome to show number 2,846.
Along with Steve the Thrill Hill.
The Ted Smith.
Woo!
Robin Fox. And my cock.
Montgomery!
Hey, Metro! On tap today, we're 8 days away from Outdoor Drinking and Red Festival!
And here come the bad jokes, Picholas. Return of Ted versus the FCC. Get ready to play Profile This. Plus headlines, a men's room shot of the day, fundable listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Ted.
The clap.
Drinking the drunk.
All right, here we go. Georgia Meemaw goes out to put new bumper sticker on her truck and kills a bobcat with her bare hands instead.
We go to Florida, where a fraternity shares personal sex videos of your daughter with pledge member friend. To D.C., where deer takes the Crystal City subway train. Those baseballs that bark in the park game are hard for a German shepherd to contain. And North Dakota mayor reelected with 3 votes. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, the people closest to you, sadly, they're most likely to be the people to screw you over. All right, sometimes people freak out over the inheritance. They didn't get theirs. Family stopped talking. Well, recently, we shared the story of a Japanese guy that was found alive and well 11 months after his wife identified his corpse. Now, they weren't working on this together, so it's hard to say who's worse. The dude who stepped away from his wife for 11 months or the woman who doesn't know what her husband looks like. Either way, we'll let them figure that out between the two of them. Then there's the story of a Canadian guy who plays clarinet. Stop laughing. Now, I can't imagine how much competition he had, but he was awarded a full scholarship at the extremely prestigious Colborne Conservatory of Music in Los Angeles. And it would have been a dream come true for the guy. I mean, you have to apply, you have to do all kinds of tests. But his girlfriend at the time saw the letter of acceptance before he did. She got rid of it and forged a letter of denial instead. That was 4 years ago. He basically just found out, and he recently just sued her. Because like I said, sometimes it's just the people closest to you seem most likely to do you dirty. It's just how things tend to play out. And that's what our question is today. Maybe it happened to you. Maybe you did it to someone else. Maybe it happened to a friend. But today, we just want to know, how did someone do someone dirty?
Before our big show, call 844-999-OLA. You can like The Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send your emails to themensroom@mensroomlive.com. You are listening to The Men's Room Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hola, bichola. You have entered the men's room.
Hola, bichola's, and away we go. Welcome to show number 2846. What a large and charged program we have for you today. Here come the bad jokes. The drunk in charge, Ryan Castle, will begin to kick off the bad jokes right before we drink a toast with the shot of the day, the return of Ted versus the FCC coming up, and another round to profile this. And today we're going to talk about the ridiculousness of when someone does someone dirty. There are many different levels of doing someone dirty, but man, there are some where you go, wow, that was something else. And we'll start here in Montreal, and we go to an incredible story. And who would have thought that you could say incredible story and clarinet in the same sentence?
Look, before you start the story, all I want to say is, when you're a grown-ass man and you still pursue the clarinet, I'm not judging now, you, but what I would say is this. Anytime that guy gets a win because he plays clarinet, let him have the win.
Oh, you know
it's
what?
It's a clarinet,
you
man.
Know what? My wife's out of town, so the hell with it. My brother-in-law plays clarinet really well.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No, he was like first chair clarinet.
Okay. No. And that proves my point.
I'm dead serious. Like, he is really good at clarinet. Like, he can pick that thing up right now. It's one of the few things he keeps clean, first of all. I mean, that's serious. Like, that thing looks like it's been shined.
You're
like,
proving my point with this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to the guy's character, but
look,
he can play the clarinet really well. What has that done for him?
I'll tell you, because, so you're in a band, right?
Yeah.
And for some reason, your clarinetist goes down. You know what I mean? They get sick. Or
I'm in a band with
you
the clarinetist.
You can call my brother-in-law, man. Boom.
You're not calling him.
He'll show up.
He's not going to. And he wouldn't show up.
He'll fill in and play the clarinet.
He would not show up.
What is this band?
I don't know.
Like, what's he going to fill in for an eighth grader?
If you play the clarinet, and
maybe
I'm just guessing.
Senior center, you don't know.
The only reasonable jobs, I think, you could join the symphony for sure, right? If you're that good. Yep. Otherwise, you're like a school music teacher, right?
This is the story of Eric Abramovitz. McGill University music student Eric Abramovitz was among the top clarinetists in Canada. He studied...
What's his competition? I'm not...
What else are you going to do up there?
Anything! There's still the other instruments.
You Tim Hortons, you watch Trailer Park Boys.
You could play trumpet.
You play the clarinet.
You could play hockey. You could play saxophone.
Yeah, you play, you curl a little, you know what I mean? So he's one of the best in Canada, period. Matter of fact, he's one of the best on the continent of North America.
Again, and I'm not minimizing it, I'm just saying.
He's also one of the best in the world. Mm. And he studied with some of the country's elite teachers from the age of 7 years old. He won first prize at the famed Canadian music competition not once, not twice, not three times, six times. He was a featured soloist with the Montreal Symphony Orchestra and the Orchestra Symphonique de Québec, which is the Symphony of Quebec, in case you didn't know.
Sounds fancy.
Thank you, thank you. In late 2013, Abramovitz applied for a full 2-year scholarship to complete his bachelor's degree at the prestigious Colburn Conservatory of Music in Los Angeles. Every student there receives a full scholarship, including tuition, room and board, as well as money for meals and other expenses. Roughly $50,000 a year. They take care of everything.
Okay.
Because if you get money for food and housing, it's one thing to say, hey, we're going to pay for your education, but if you're a full-time student, you still need to live there. You still need to find a place to live. They take care of the whole deal.
It's basically going to, like, the football factory of music. Yeah.
But you have to be that good to get there.
And if accepted to this prestigious school, he would study under,
Don't say it.
Yehuda
Don't
Galad.
Say it.
All right. You know who I'm talking about. He's one of you, the best.
Right.
The best on the planet.
Yeah,
Yehuda. Just Isaac. I could just say Yehuda. I don't even have to say
that. That's all you
got to
say. It's like saying Oprah.
You don't say Oprah Winfrey.
You don't mean Oprah Johnson.
No one says Presley.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's Elvis.
Guccione or whatever Madonna's last name is. Considered one of the best clarinet teachers on the planet.
Obviously.
Yeah. So he accepts 2 students a year out of dozens of applicants from around the world. Now, to be chosen is virtually a guarantee of a high-paying symphony career directly out of college. Once this guy takes you under his wing, once you graduate from an exhaustive pre-screening process and the learnings and all that, you are guaranteed to play whatever instrument, clarinet, for the rest of your life and make a lot of money doing it.
Okay, now I hear what they're saying. My question is there a low-paying symphony job? Like, is there an instrument that you play in the symphony where, like, man, you're getting defensive lineman money?
I think it's probably based on size. So, like the piccolo,
if you play the tuba,
if you play the piccolo, you're screwed.
I think it depends on where the symphony is, too.
Okay, all right.
If it's in some small town,
you don't think like the Wichita Symphony is going to knock them dead?
I think Wichita might do okay. I think it's going to get to Beaver Lick, Pennsylvania.
Oh,
yeah, we got a symphony.
It's the Beaver Lick Orchestra. Yeah, we're gonna do some stuff from
You know, from Escape Journey.
Is, you know, this is Styx. This is Styx. Come sail away.
You could do. I mean, just pick like Rygorov, right? Like, I'm sure there's like a symphony in Washington D.C. or
right.
something.
But you wouldn't be in that.
We'd be in like the College Park Symphony. It's like,
it's near Pittsburgh.
Not the same.
The Symphony of Boxing Hill.
We're gonna try this one out. Right. Mario Speedwagon ride to storm out. How you doing, Altoona?
So anyway,
Ariel's Speedwagon covers this goddamn symphony.
I can't fight this feeling any longer.
What I got here? So then, after an exhaustive pre-screening process, this young Abramovitz, he flies from Canada and goes to Los Angeles in February of 2014 with his parents to do a live audition before Gillard or whatever.
I just know how to say his
Yehuda.
Name. Yehuda, man.
And also a committee of faculty members. A month later, Coburn sent an email to Abramovitz. He had been chosen.
You have been chosen by Yehuda.
Except Abramovitz never got the email. Oh, no. Jennifer Lee, a fellow McGill music student and Abramovitz's girlfriend at the time, did in fact receive the email. You see, they had started dating in September of 2013, and within a month, he was staying in her apartment, almost full time. He trusted her, he let her use his laptop, he gave her his passwords. Scared that he would move away and perhaps no longer be in a relationship with her, Lee then deleted said email. She sent the Coburn Conservatory of Music an email pretending to be Abramovitz, refusing the offer because, gonna be elsewhere, out of town.
I'm going to be out of town. That's the response she sent.
Then she sent Abramovitz, her boyfriend, an email pretending to be Yehuda under a new address she apparently established herself, saying Abramovitz had not been accepted for a scholarship at Coburn. Writing as Yehuda, she told Abramovitz he was offered a position to study at the University of Southern California with a small scholarship of $5,000 a year. Annual tuition, by the way, at USC, $51,000 a year, a cost she knew that Abramovitz could not afford. So he was completely taken in. He lost his two-year scholarship opportunity to study. He completed his studies at McGill, of all places. And then he did a two-year certificate program at USC, not on scholarship, where he got to study part-time, then under Yehuda.
Part-time Yehuda.
Yehuda finally lets him in. He's a little bit pissed, though.
I'm your part-time Yehuda. Mm-hmm. Did he ever connect it?
In an interview with the National Post, Abramovitz explained how he discovered, months later, long after his relationship with Lee had ended, the unrelated reasons for him not being accepted. It was at his second audition before Yehuda.
Get it right, man. God, have some respect for the greatest clarinet player to ever grace Dagobah. Are you Yehuda?
He's from Algonia. I should know this. So they talk about the brief and strange interaction when Yehuda said, "Why did you reject me?" It was a fair question. As Abramovitz put it, you don't reject him. He is the master.
I am Yehuda.
But having done nothing of the sort, Abramovitz asked in return, "Why did you reject me?" That's when they knew something underhand was afoot. One day in 2015, he and a friend set about trying to gain access to the fake email account, and because Abramovitz and Lee once shared a computer, he knew one of her passwords, which he randomly tried. Miraculously, it logged right in. Her email was listed as the recovery email. Her phone was the recovery phone. We felt like Sherlock Holmes. Abramovitz also said...
If he had computer access back in the day, yeah.
She did a similar thing involving fake emails with his successful application to Juilliard School in New York.
Damn!
Causing him to be declined from there as well. After Abramovitz learned of the deception, he sued for $300,000 in general damages, including loss of reputation, loss of educational opportunity, and the loss of 2 years of income potential.
And 2 years of hanging out with Yehuda.
The case was heard in Ontario because Lee is a resident there. I accept and find that Mr. Abramovitz lost a unique and prestigious educational opportunity, one that would have advanced his career as a professional clarinetist, blah, 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 one that can only get a big break like this once in a lifetime, promising an artist a stratospheric career. I cannot speculate as to how high and how quickly Mr. Abramovitz's career might have soared, but for the interference of Miss Lee, but the law does recognize that the loss of a chance is a very real and compensatable loss.
Sure.
The judge found that the loss of 2 years in scholarship was easily worth the $500,000. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. The claim eventually got to $300,000 Canadian. Lee has not responded. She did not show up in court. It's more than likely that he will never see a dime of any of this money. She's not really, what you don't have, you can't give.
Yeah, but what about, are they going to garnish, like, right, there's no chance she has that money, but will they garnish her wages? I mean, what's the...
It doesn't seem like, from his comments here, it just kind of seems like it was the point that was proven. His former girlfriend never responded to the statement of claim against her, never filed a notice of intent to defend or a statement of defense, and thus was noted in default. And she can't be reached. A defendant who has not been noted in default is deemed to admit the truth of all allegations made in the statement of the claim. Therefore, she is guilty based on not doing anything. The award expresses the court's evaluation of what Miss Lee has done and not that she will actually pay.
How can they not track her now? I mean, the guy got into her computer. You'd think if you can do that much.
That's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, it seems weird they can't find her.
That's the craziest clarinet story I've ever heard.
You know what, man? As far as clarinet stories go, I have to say that is my first one, and it's one of the better ones.
Our question, how did someone do someone dirty? 844-999-OLA.
By the way, a message did come in. What do they say? They said low-paying symphony be the Morgantown Philharmonic.
The Morgantown Philharmonic.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Another guy says, look, I laughed. I played the trombone from fourth grade until I graduated. I can attest to how lame the clarinet is. Let them win
for
their own good.
Morgantown doesn't have a Philharmonic.
Of course, they don't have a Philharmonic.
No.
There's like a guy named Phil Harmonic.
Yeah, that's exactly. And he's on a corner. He's been homeless. He's playing a harmonic.
That's the closest they got. Hello, Alex. Welcome to the men's room.
Sign says, God bless.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
Thank God. All right, so I'm actually on my way to the car dealership right now. I just bought my first car a little less than 2 months ago, and, you know, I tell them, you know, this is what my price has to be as far as payments go, blah, blah, blah. Well, salesman, he kind of handles my insurance on the deal of the car because I tell him I can't pay more than this amount of money. He's like, oh, I use the word for Progressive. I have a promo code. I can get you a great rate. Da, da, da. And just so you know, this is like one of the biggest car dealerships, you know. In
all right. We got you. We got
area.
You.
It's not some little one. So anyways, I start getting emails from Progressive saying we need verification of this and that, you know, of why, you know, this is the reason why you're getting such low rates, but we need verification that you've had this and this. So I finally called them, and the guy lied and said that I had insurance with them for the last 8 years, which I haven't even been an insured driver for that long. And so my rate went up a whole bunch, and he's actually on audio recording saying that he was using a promo code. So he lied, and I'm actually on my way to the dealership right now to try and get out of this car.
How old are you, one?
I'm 28.
What is it, because you haven't had a vehicle, you have no proof of having a safe driving record?
Well, the guy lied
record,
on his behalf. They gave him a lower rate because the guy gave them false information.
Yeah, so you don't have a driving record. So if you do have a driving record and you put it forth with Progressive just as based on who you are, what would be the flag? Would it be over the amount that you could spend based on, you know, a previous accident? Or what's the
asterisk? No. So basically, as an insured driver for 8 years, that in itself will lower your rate than somebody who has not been previously insured, let's say within the last year.
Right.
And that actually made the price jump like $85 a month.
But they're asking him for proof of something that is not true. But he's not the guy that lied on the statement. So how does that work with Progressive? Because someone else lied on your behalf, but now Progressive, and you know how Flo is. Flo is there smack-talking you right now. So what do you have to do on your end?
So on my end, that's why I'm going to the dealership, because when I was in the office, they video and audio record all proceedings, so that way the buyer and they are protected, can't get sued. Well, he admitted that he used a promo code, which he didn't. He lied and said that I had insurance for the previous 8 years. So they're going to go make it right, or they're going to get their car back, and I'm going to get my money back, hopefully. hopefully.
I always tell the people who tell me that they're recording me that I'm recording them just to hear the uncomfortableness on the end of the line.
It does get a little weird.
Yeah, it's like this. Yeah. Like, we just want you to know this is a recorded line. I go, oh, that's fine, because I'm recording everything you say for my own personal use.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, I'm recording it as well. So we'll have two copies. That way, for some reason, your copy gets deleted or mine does or whatever. We'll both have a copy. We cool? Let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I'm supposed to let you know that I'm recording you.
Otherwise, you can't. You can't.
And you have to tell me that you're recording me. I legally have to be required to tell you that I'm recording you as well. Move along. Go ahead.
Right.
you're recording. Is that the old joke with like telemarketers back in the day?
What was that?
Right? Just give me your number. I'll call you during dinner.
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, man, can I call you right back? No, man. I'm gonna need your home number. Because like I do all my personal calls at like 2 a.m. Sometimes that's 3. I'm a narcoleptic. I don't know. Sometimes I just fall.
Right, just click.
How did someone do someone dirty? 844-999-OLA. A man turned up alive 11 months after a wife identified the corpse. This happened in Japan, where they gave the family the wrong body.
Okay, it starts there, but you have to identify it.
One body apparently looks much like the other a few days in Tokyo in a river known as the Edo River. A Japanese woman who reported her husband missing identified a body found in the river as a loved one. She had the body cremated and was shocked 11 months later when her husband turned up alive and well.
What's up, baby?
The other relatives also identified the body pulled from the river as her missing husband, who was in his 40s and had been reported missing 3 days earlier. Police say that after the mistake was discovered, they were able to use fingerprints records to establish the true identity of the body. Authorities say the body retrieved was that of a man in his 30s who was around the same height as the husband and who'd been reported missing on the same day that the body was pulled from the river. The incident is extremely regrettable. We're determined to prevent a reoccurrence, according to a Tokyo police officer. Police say that under the current system, fingerprints and DNA verification isn't required when relatives identify the body. They did not disclose where the woman's husband had been during the 11 months.
Right.
I think that's the most interesting part of the story.
Is that more regrettable for the police or for the family?
I mean, because the thing is, you cremated a body. So, like, whoever it was, they're just gone now, man. I don't know.
Well, like, he might have just taken off, right?
And
then, like, he finds out later on, like, you do know they found your body and they registered you as dead. They think you're dead. Be like, well, I just want to run away with, you know, whatever.
But now I have to go get my identification straight
now. Like, now I can't get my Social Security, whatever the deal is.
Way to panic, babe.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for nothing. How did someone do someone dirty? 844-999. Ola, more your calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
So the story goes, he's either going to give me a ring or throw me off a cliff. The last words of a woman where a case has been going on for, I want to say, probably
3 years, four
three
years.
Or 4 years. For nearly a decade, I guess. Mystery has surrounded what happened to 23-year-old aspiring model Rhonda Casto.
How is it a mystery? What were her last words and what was her fate?
Yeah, well, she was found at the bottom of a steep ravine on March 16, 2009.
Uh-huh.
The mother had set out with her boyfriend, Steve Nichols, to hike the Eagle Creek Trail along Oregon's Columbia River Gorge. But what was supposed to be a leisurely hike turned into a nightmare when fire officials and responding to a 911 call from Nichols came across the scene of Casto's death. What appeared to be an accident turned into a murder investigation, bolstered by Casto's family's belief that Nichols, the father of Casto's daughter Ava, had something to do with her dying. Adding to their suspicion was a statement that Casto allegedly made before she went on a hike. She told her mother and her sister, he's either going to give me a ring or he's going to throw me off a cliff. Ha ha, ha 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 ha,
mm-hmm.
According to Casto's mother.
Mm-hmm. Did
but,
she have a ring?
Simmons did not think that Casto was kidding, and after she died, family members went to the police. We all told him, the detective, that we believed that Steve pushed her. This is not an accident. Simmons says authorities were very interested in what the family had to say at the time. However, she said she didn't confront Nichols with her allegations. Police wouldn't let me see him because they knew that I was enraged. Then in February 2015, nearly 6 years after Casto died, Nichols was arrested and charged with her killing, accused of pushing her off the 100-foot cliff so he could collect a $1 million life insurance policy. Authorities also pointed to an alleged inappropriate relationship with Casto's underage sister and a previous incident where Nichols was accused of attempting to push his then-wife off a balcony in China in 2003.
But it took you 6 years to arrest the guy who had attempted to push his ex-wife off of a balcony years previous and whose girlfriend, her last words were, or he'll push me off a cliff. And it took 6 years to piece this
together. For some reason, in May of 2017, in a move that angered Casto's family, prosecutors dropped the murder charge against Nichols. In return, he pleaded guilty to criminally negligent homicide and coercion. He received 3 years of probation with credit for 19 months of jail time. And still maintains that he has nothing to do with Nichols' death.
So you're saying I'm criminally negligent.
Yes.
Because she fell off a cliff. Maybe I helped her, I did not prevent her, and then lied to you. And you still can get 3 years probation. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh man.
Our question, how did someone do someone dirty? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Alicia. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. Hola.
Oh my God, I love you guys.
We love you. Oh my God, it's amazing.
No, the real question is, did you get your Red Fest tickets yet?
Did you get your Red Festival tickets yet? We know someone. They're going to let us in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's going to be my Father's Day present. We're all going to go.
Oh, nice, man. Nice. Very cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So okay. How did someone do you dirty?
So I was in a situation where I needed to get dental.
Hold on, filthy mouth.
Here are the 7 words you can't say on the radio.
You're kind of woman.
She's in.
Sucker. Yep. Mother.
Oh, we want to meet her now. I mean, like, there's no doubt about it.
When calling. Now back to the program.
Get on her right in front of her dad.
I did it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No F-bombs.
Okay. So I needed to get my teeth worked on, so I was working super, super overtime, like hours and hours and hours of overtime, and I had all the money saved up. I had it in cash.
How much money did you need to get all the work done?
Well, it was about $1,200.
Okay.
And I had $700 in cash on me. I was ready to deposit in the bank. And I was giving my best friend a ride. And so he saw the money. And I didn't really think anything of it because, you know, it's your best friend. You think you can trust your best friend. So I put it in my console. And I stopped at the weed shop to get weed because weed. And, like, I came back into the car and I didn't think anything of it. And I dropped him off at his house. Then went to the bank to deposit the money and found that it was gone. And so was he, not answering his phone or anything.
Wait, you never saw him again?
No. Well, it took me about a day to come out of denial because you just don't want to believe your best friend did that to you.
How long had you known him?
I had known him for a year. Like, we had, like, hung out every single day, you know?
But wait a minute. Again, he was waiting in your car with the money, and the time it took you to get back to your car, this cat is gone, the money's gone, never heard from him again.
No. So I came back to the car, and I dropped him off at his house, and then I immediately went to the bank to deposit the money, and the money was gone, and then he was not replying to me or anything.
Did you go back to his house?
It's locked. Like, it's totally gated and locked. Like, I couldn't do that.
Okay.
And ever, like, run into him again? I mean, if you were that tight?
No.
Not the same circles.
I just told him, you know, I'm awesome, and what you just lost was your best friend. So you get to deal with that. I'm not going to go to court.
Call the cops. I got to ask one more question. Were you having sex with this guy?
I was having sex with this guy,
okay.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's...
Her and I have different versions of best friends.
I do, too. I was like, best friends. I'd like a best friend. That'd be cool. How did someone do someone dirty? 844-999-OLA. I need a best friend.
Like that?
Yeah.
Special
almost.
Friend.
OLA. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what?
Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.